before the break, Anthony McBrough, you were discussing and saying something about the difference between the ideal of justice and what is happening in Muslim-majority countries, but also the way we are dealing with practically with the concept of justice. So I want you to react on this, Masoud, and say, how do you see this? Is this right? Is this a wrong way to deal with it?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to really understand that there is a theoretical sort of concept, and then there is practical. And these two should not be mixed up with one another when we are comparing. If we are going to compare the concept of justice in West, theoretically, we need to compare it to Islam theoretically. Yes. If you're going to deal with the practice, we also need to compare the practice.
This is the fair comparison.
Because yes, otherwise, if we jump between the two, it becomes a bit more confusing. I mean, the fact of the matter is, yes, I mean, between the Muslim world, there are many misuses of justice, and there is a great injustice taking place, sometimes in the name of Islam. I mean, we have seen sort of the chopping hand and the whipping of innocents, you know, based on their nationality rather than, you know, the concept of justice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have seen this, you know, selective sort of picking up the concept of hudud, be it in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia or Nigeria, and actually trying to implement that first before even the Sharia is being set in and practiced. We know that is unjust from an Islamic point of view. But then also when you look at the Western sort of concept, you know, you see Abu Ghraib, you see Guantanamo, you see, you know, Bagram, and you see sort of 1.5 million people killed by Americans in the name of removing Saddam Hussein, the tyrant. Hmm. I mean, you know, how could this be justified? Hmm. I'm sure comparable with the American Constitution either, you know. Yeah. So we really need to look at these things and compare. Why is it that, you know, the concept of justice is not only is not adhered to by, you know, in the Muslim world, but it's not appeared to in the Western world either. You know, international law is being undermined all the time. 1,400 people slaughtered in Gaza, and no one cares, and no one wants to bring them to justice. You know, and
I wanted to react on this because this is a very fair point. It's quite important. Even when we talk between two worlds, so to say, or two civilizations, to compare the like with the like, ideals with ideals, theory with theory, and practice with practices. This is something which is quite interesting. But now, if from an Islamic viewpoint, we speak about justice, and what you are saying, we are all saying as Muslims that we are promoting justice because it's a central concept in Islam, and this is what you said. Whatever are the different interpretations, still, how can we tackle this issue and to make it something which could be a better way for Muslims to deal with the concept of justice in the contemporary world? How would you say this, as someone who is dealing with texts, but also with communities?
Well, actually, the problem is that the ones who are oppressed in the contemporary world are Muslims, not others. Absolutely. And the Muslims have been actually viewing the whole world from this window, that they are oppressed. And they are oppressed. I mean, just a couple of centuries, from a couple of centuries ago, from 17th century onward, you will see that they were colonized, killed.
But you would agree that they sometimes are oppressed by Muslims themselves. So it's an Islamic problem. Some Muslims are oppressing Muslims.
It is true. Yes. It is true. But generally speaking, it is now the dominance of the Western world over that part of the world which mainly Muslims are living, which has created this imbalance of justice. And in such a world, I mean, where you have a dominant power which, I mean, dictates whatever they want, and then they somehow put nice decoration over it. That's this is even what you have to come to. This is the world. This is the beautiful paradise that we are putting as your target. It's very difficult, really, to come to these theoretical discussions. I mean, an oppressed person is not an ordinary person that you can talk to it nicely and argue and discuss things in a peaceful manner. Even I think none of us agree with what Al-Qaeda or others are doing in the name of Islam. But let's look at it from a justice point of view. It is a reaction. And that reaction is to the totality of the modern world mindset, modern understanding of the relationship between human beings. This is a revolt against it.
So if it's a reaction against oppression, why are you condemning it?
Because it's another oppression. You cannot remove oppression with oppression.
No, it's true. You see, I mean, in Islam, and indeed in other religion, the end does not justify the means. Yes. And so we actually, we condemn wrong means used for the right reasons, you know, and this is probably one of those areas.
Yes.
You know, there is this situation. I mean, we need to recognize that the oppressions that even are unleashed by Muslim leadership, be it in Egypt or Saudi Arabia or anywhere else, are actually supported and promoted and protected by the Western powers, you know. I mean, those regimes are going to fall down tomorrow. I mean, you know, Egypt, for example.
The Western support.
Absolutely. Yes. So again, we, you know, not only we, but the oppressed people are actually looking. I mean, when people look at the jails in Egypt, which have been paid for and built by American money, they actually see Americans' hand in jailing the ordinary people just because they want democracy and justice. And I think this is a reality we need to sort of look at. You can't sort of look at these oppression in, you need to actually look at it. But also what we need to do as ordinary Muslims is also very important. We cannot sort of just blame this king and that president and so forth. We need to stand up for the justice.
I will come back to this because I think it's an important point, what the individual responsibility towards justice as Muslims and as citizens as well. I want you just to react on this. The great majority of the Muslims are oppressed, so we cannot expect from the Muslims to have something which is, they are not reacting as ordinary people, but you have, in fact, the whole discussion we get here is that we have to put things into context, and the context of today is quite difficult for Muslims. Would you agree with this?
Well, obviously. Well, I think we look at Bosnia and Kosovo in Europe, and quite obviously that was probably the greatest shame in the late 20th, post-war 20th century in Europe and the West in general, that we allowed the gang rape and the mass murder of Bosnian Muslims. And the Bosnian Muslims, we've got to remember, they were not the kind of the Taliban in Europe. They were the most, generally, the most irreligious, the intermarried community you can think about. They were exactly the kind of Muslims that the British government actually wanted Muslims here to become, but that didn't save them, you know, in their white skins and their fair hair. And that was probably one of the greatest acts of injustice and shame of Western governments in the late 20th century, particularly after they'd rushed so quickly to evict Saddam Hussein from Kuwait. But as the Bosnians said, well, we don't have any oil. I think one of the things we need to recognize is the need, for me as a Christian, is for ethical consistency.
Yes.
And I think this is perhaps the underlying concept of justice. We should think in any system, there should be ethical consistency.
Yes.
Now, the fact is, supposedly, America and Britain went to Iraq to overthrow this wicked dictator who had this terrible prison in Abu Ghraib where tortures took place. And then we find out that the same people who overthrew this, and he was a wicked dictator, in the same prison are doing the same tortures. Now, the point is, where is the ethical consistency therein? Now, for me as a Christian, my starting point, is with King David, in the Bible, we read the story of him arranging for one of his top military officials to be killed so he could take his wife Bathsheba. And then a prophet comes up to him the following year, and he tells him this story. He doesn't say who's done it. He said, someone's stolen this rich man, stolen this poor man's lamb. And King David gets very indignant and said, how wicked this is, I'm going to punish him. And he says, you are the man. The point being is ethical consistency. And if in any system we lack ethical consistency, that is injustice.
Okay, so let us come to you, Masoud, with this, because I think that this is a very important point and what you are trying to do, in fact, at the grassroots level, working here in London with this Islamic Human Rights Commission, is really to work on consistency and promoting some of the values. Let me start with something which is a theoretical, practical question, which is there, according to you, something which is an Islamic conception of human rights which is different from the Western conception of human rights, when you say Islamic Human Rights Commission?
I mean, from an Islamic point of view, I feel that every Muslim is duty-bound, is to implement justice, you know, to discharge their responsibility and to speak out against injustice. I mean, the verses of Quran saying that stand witness against yourself, against your family, against the rich, against the poor. So the issue is actually standing justice and standing witness to what is being wrong, even against yourself. Hmm. And this, if we could actually implement this concept right across the world, the whole concept of injustice will take a nosedive. But, and I think from that point of view, Islam is probably unique in this way. But also I think it is very important, there are other verses like saying, how could you not rise and fight for the sake of those oppressed men, women and children who are saying, Ya Allah, send us a protector, send us a helper. And we all know this doesn't refer to Muslims who are oppressed, it means to oppressed. Oppressed people doesn't have a religion and oppressors don't have a religion. Hmm. So here is the command to rise up and fight for those who are oppressed, to so every single one of us. Yeah. These concepts are not in the Western.
Yes, but it's quite good to listen to this, because if a viewer were listening or watching our discussion, the perception could have been, oh, it's as if we are dealing with something which is a victim mentality, we are the victims and we are oppressed. What you are saying is exactly the opposite. Out of this question, there is a duty to resist, to struggle for more human rights everywhere, and also for non-Muslims.
So yeah, you would say, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. This is actually, you know, I mean, we as Muslims are following the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was Rahmatul Alameen, mercy to the whole creation, you know, not just to people, the whole creation. So from that point of view, we have that in our heart, and we strive for justice. And I think it's very important also, there is, I don't know if this is time, but there is a argument within the Muslim world. Some people say there's no human right because this is a Western secular thing. Some people say that, you know, you just put Bismillah Rahman Rahim on top of the UN declaration and becomes Islamic. But the concept really is that we need to stand up and we really need to define new areas without any sort of hypocrisy. And stand up for what is just. And I also think it's very important to recognize that the justice is universal. You can't have one set of justice in London and another one in New York or Timbuktu. It has to be one concept justice right across. So there is a universality with the concept justice dealing for everyone, Muslim and non-Muslims and so forth.
So you would agree, for example, I will come to you, but you would agree with central to this concept of justice, there is something which has to do with consistency, universality and consistency. You would agree, this is your experience on the ground.
Yes, and unfortunately at the moment, you know, this both in practical level and theoretical level, it doesn't exist. You know, I mean, on a practical level, we already discussed it. Even on the theoretical level, you know, the international courts are not really respected and implemented by all governments. You know, United States and others are actually pulled out of it, and is not in a theoretical thing is not there to safeguard everyone. And on a practical level, we actually have got extremely shortcoming because everybody.
Let me go through a pedagogical way, step by step. I'm an average Muslim, so I come to you, you are working in the Islamic Human Rights Commission, so what should you advise me to do to be a Muslim committed to justice in my daily life? Well, that's a simple thing.
Yeah, I mean, there are many things you could do, but the first most important thing is actually make justice a prominent thing in your life. Implementing justice in your own family, in your own community, stand up against injustice when it's taking place. If you're witnessing to injustice, interfere, you know, actually get involved. As the Islamic concept is, if you see something wrong, you change it by your hand. Yes. If you can't, change it by your tongue. If you can't, hate it in your heart. To get involved on those practical level, not just go and hate it in your heart as a first option. Get involved. Get involved
in all the situation, meaning all Muslims as well, because this is the problem that we have.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, look, we actually deal with the Islamic Human Rights Commission. We deal with many cases of non-Muslims come to us and actually ask us to help, and we do help. And you know, I remember one case we had recently. Someone we helped, and afterward I asked him, I said, why did you come to us? There are so many other organizations. Mm-hmm. And you know what he said? He said, let me be honest. First of all, I went to A, B, C, D, and they didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Then I thought, I want to go to the people who pray five times a day and see what they do for me. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought that this is actually, to some way, honor to actually get people like that coming. And it's our duty to actually help others. Mm-hmm. And if we implement this, we actually bring a tremendous change in the world, because there is an amazing thirst for pure concept of justice.
Mm-hmm. Which is crossing the board.
Across the board, yes.
Yes, across the board. And then for an organization, for people, you would say exactly the same. In the Muslim majority country, we will push exactly for the
same
attitude.
I mean, our job is, I mean, we are a community of Amr Ma'ruf Nahy Munkar. We are the community of encouraging good and discouraging wrong. This is part and parcel of Islam. Hmm. And it's implemented not just with non-Muslims, but implemented with Muslims as well. We need to also be guidance for each other not to go the wrong way.
Yes. Sheikh, you wanted to react on this.
I think this universality is a very, very important factor in the way the Muslims should see justice. It's not only justice for themselves, it's justice for everyone. And there are many, many different verses in the Quran which talks about it, many different traditions from the Prophet. You are aware that Prophet of Islam, before he was given the mission, he entered or he initiated a pact with some of the noblemen in Mecca to protect whoever of these polities who came to Mecca and were oppressed by this helpful fuzul that we have, by the wealthy people of Mecca, to protect them, to fight for them.
Yes.
And this shows how, of course, justice was a part of the nature of the Prophet.
That's completely true. But this is, once again, reference to the past and reference to the Islamic teachings. Why is it today that the Muslims, for example, when it comes to justice, are not so much involved when it comes to justice for others, but mainly when it comes for Muslims?
No, I think they are not given a chance. And that this is very, very important. They are not given a chance because they are always looked down at. Hmm. And these are the sort of riffraff who never would want to listen to them. This is what has happened.
Would you accept this? Would you accept that if the Muslims are not so much involved, because they don't get the chance to be involved?
Well, I think I'd have to put a qualification to that. I mean, obviously, Muslims in most Muslim-majority countries don't get a chance to be involved in politics full stop, because they end up in prison, quite frankly.
Yes.
And the kind of things that we've been hearing about that happened under the Bush administration, that hopefully will not happen now under Obama, the rendition to Muslim countries, that was very very significant, that so many of these suspects were rendered to Muslim-majority countries, where we know exactly what was going to happen. They were going to be tortured. And that was one of the most disgraceful aspects of the Bush administration, that because it's not allowed in on American soil, they sent them to allies in most, not all solely, but mainly Muslim-majority countries like Egypt, Morocco, or even Syria, even an enemy, where because they knew quite well how the police there, the secret police, will not treat them the way the American police treat them, because the American police are not allowed to do it. And I think though, in the Western countries, and remember, there are millions of Muslims these days in Western countries. These are free societies, these are democracies. Yes, Muslims face discrimination, they face Islamophobia, but there is no excuse for any Muslim who feels it's not to be involved.
I want you to react on this, because if, for example, from my viewpoint, I would take exactly the same stand. I want the Muslims to be much more vocal on what is happening in Africa, what is happening to immigrants coming here.
But they are. Look at our organization. Our organization is purely funded by the community. You know, you show me how many other organizations. That actually shows there is a tremendous
commitment. Yes.
And, you know, the number of volunteers we have, you know, that they come day and night working.
Are you more the exception? You are more the exception than the rule.
We don't have room to accommodate. I mean, you know, we are doing a tremendous amount of work with a very, very few resources, which is all organized by our own community. The fact is that, you know, we are actually being undermined, as Sheikh Bahmanpour said. You know, when we sort of speak, these are a bunch of fuddy-duddy Muslims, you know, they don't really understand the concept of human right and justice. They're just interested in this. But that is not true. We actually get involved in all aspects of operations of others.
Mainly about Muslims.
Muslims. You know, no, it's not. I mean, look, let me tell you. Yes. For example, only the other, we actually had to get involved when some Orthodox Jews, their homes was being attacked, brick thrown through the windows, 1,000 eggs thrown at their house in Manchester. Police didn't want to do anything about that.
We went
involved, and we got involved to actually making sure that they are going to be made safe and secure. This is actually responsibility of all of us.
That's a good,
who stood up forefront of the teacher in Sudan? We were a forefront of that. So it's not really just for Muslims.
This is at the grassroots. Yes. It is possible, but if you come to more official international levels, that is where I say Muslims have no chance. Go to Security Council,
which is
the Security Council, which is actually the main body which should somehow establish justice in international relations. I mean, no Muslim can have any say there. Come to the other levels of the United Nations, there are no possibilities. And also, do not forget the fact that Muslims are uneducated as compared to Western people, are mainly poor, are culturally somehow left behind, and they cannot express themselves according to the laws and rules.
But this is mainly in the Muslim majority countries. Would you say the same in the West? We have the right. For example, what you said
now. I'm talking about international arena.
Would you want the Muslims to be more vocal, for example, in the West?
Oh, of course. Yes. Why not? I mean, every Muslim wants to do that.
See, I think this is definitely
very
true.
Quick,
I say, if you think of what's happening in Gaza, the silence of the West is terrible and so forth. But you've got to ask this question. When there are over 7 million Muslims in America, why aren't they making the same impact as other communities? You could point out prejudice and everything, but in the end, people are able to overcome it. In Britain, we had William Wilberforce leading the evangelicals in the 19th century, minority, despised against economic and military interests, and yet we abolish slavery.
Very quick comment on that. Very quick comment, please.
I really think that you actually goes back to the issue of power. The Muslims don't have the same power and others have got, and we also need to create self-confidence within the Muslim community. That is lacking. But also international arenas, like international courts, all the Muslim countries put together cannot actually refer the Gaza into international courts. So there is this oppression, that actually controls the international arena of justice. But having said that, we need to stand up because we are responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Qiyamah.
Okay, thank you so much for this. I think that during this program we have been able first to understand that there are many definitions, even though the concept of justice is central in the Islamic tradition, many different definitions, and the difference between the theory and the practices, and this is quite important, with a central concept for all the religions, Christian, Jewish, and Islamic tradition, but also beyond that is consistency, ethical consistency between what you are promoting and what you are saying. And then while the whole world now, the perception and the reality is oppressing and oppressed Muslims around the world, even though in the West they don't have the possibility to act, still in the West they have to struggle for more justice, and this is something which is quite important, is a crossing the board and trying here to be active for more justice in the world for Muslims and non-Muslims alike. And these are the main principles that we're able to talk about today. I'm afraid that all we have got time for today. Thanks to all our guests, Sheikh Muhammad Saeed Bahmanpour, Dr. Anthony McCrory, and Masoud Shajare. If you want to join the debate or suggest another topic for us to discuss, our email address is islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. That's islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. See you next week, inshallah.